Hello, beautifuls. Welcome to the Psychic Therapist Show, where we explore everyday life and answer your questions using both psychology and spirit. Today's show is all about dating and relationships. And have you had the experience where you keep ending up with people who aren't right for you? Or maybe you're in the right relationship, but feeling like maybe things are stale or you're in a rut and wanting to shift that? Well, stay tuned as we touch upon these topics with some great email questions and callers. I'm Evie Kane, a lifelong psychic and clinical psychotherapist. If you want to know more about me or my work, you can find me at eviekane.com. That's eviekane.com. And we are live streaming here today and will be the first and third Fridays of the month. And the broadcast is available any time of the day or night, 24/7 on Web Talk Radio. And so the lines are open for questions at 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. So let's get going and start with shifting some patterns that may not be helpful in dating or relationships and identifying what they are. I've noticed in my work as both a psychic and a therapist, I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people over the years. In here, sadness and frustration at wanting to call in the one in dating and having a great relationship and feeling like they've missed out. And as I've listened, many times I've held myself back from sounding like Joan Rivers and saying, "Can we talk?" Because what I want to say is there's a big difference between if someone's dateable or mateable. And I notice when people are wanting a mate that what they come up with in their list is really a lot of dating qualities. And let me talk a little bit more about that by saying that we can get locked in on trying to mate someone, end up in a long-term relationship with someone who isn't really mateable material. And I've noticed particularly in my work with women that that tends to be an issue. Like they may date someone for a while and it doesn't work out, and then, or they may even marry them and get out of the relationship, and then they try and date the exact opposite kind of a person. You know, well, if I dated, you know, wild, crazy rock musicians, now I'm going to just date accountants. And then fast forward underneath that seeming appearance thing, they end up with the same kind of person. Interesting. And I've also noticed as women get to get on to really wanting marriage and children, they tend to forget about that there's a natural timing and that it's important to have, you know, they kind of want to skip the dating and get into relationship. And with the natural timing of things, you know, people are on their best behavior for at least the first 3 months of a relationship, a dating relationship, wanting to get that position of being the significant other, the boyfriend, the girlfriend. But in particularly the way that we women are wired biochemically, by the time you've been dating someone for a few dates, you can be thinking, oh, this is the one I want to spend my life with. And you can kind of get locked in on having it go somewhere when you don't even really know how this person is going to show up in the long term. So let me shift to, you know, illustrating that with some of the wonderful email questions that we have. And the first one is from Lorraine from the beautiful sunny state of Texas. And she says, you know, I'm 40 years old and the mother of an 18-year-old son and have been married for about 12 years and divorced for 10 years. And though not intentional, I'm embarrassed to say I'm turning into kind of a cougar. I only seem to be drawn to 20-something-year-old men who initially are adorable and sexy and sweet and kind and then do not seem to have much in the way of a career or financial responsibility. I end up getting resentful, semi-supporting them. And I'm upset with myself that I keep doing this. Any insight you have would help. Well, Lorraine, as I tune into you, let's just talk about you specifically. I tune in, you know, if I do the math, it looks like you got married pretty young. So as I tune in, I think rather than beating yourself up about being a cougar, I think you might be looking at that there's some stuff about you having had a lot of responsibility really early in your life, and you're wanting to, you know, have a little fun. There's nothing wrong with that, but fun is great in dating and also in a mate. But it's very interesting to me that as I tune in, I sense that your husband, even though you may have been the same age, was very, quote, young. Like, I'll hear a lot of women joke, you know, I have two sons, and it really turns out to be, when I talk to them, oh, no, that's my joke, I have a husband and a son. And it may be, Lorraine, that you have developed a motherly way of relating in your relationships. I'd encourage you to look at that, because that seems to be what's getting recreated here in your relationships. And I'm also struck, because what I mean with the younger men, I mean, you're drawn to them initially as a woman and a partner, but the way that they're people that are childlike and needing help and your support, and you're resenting that. I sense you really consciously want a full relationship, and yet some part of you is still tied to maybe having that control, you know, because we all know mom rules in the house. So even though you say it's not intentional, I would say that somewhere in the unconscious, maybe that is intentional for you. And I'm also struck that your son, you mentioned, is 18, and usually at 18, kids are leaving home, going to college, setting off on their own, and there may be an aspect of that, of recreating, you know, that needed to be needed, and kind of going about looking for that in, you know, the same way of being in that kind of senior position that's so helping and mentoring. And I think it's time for you, Lorraine, to kind of cut loose in a different way about looking at what you need and want and what's important to you. What's really, really important deep down under the adorable, sweet, and sexy and kind. So thanks, Lorraine, for that great question. And this is another thing for everyone, as I've noticed, that when people start working on wanting to call in the one and, you know, I've done my work and now I'm using the law of attraction, and they kind of have a shopping list of qualities. And when I work with people, I would say that shopping list to me looks more like a dating list. You know, I'll hear, well, I want somebody kind and generous and fun to be with and sexy and attractive and has a good sense of humor and a good job and treats me well and so on. And I like to joke, to me, that's what I call a BAM list. The bear something minimum, it rhymes with farce. So it's like, you know, if you think about it, would you ever put out a personal ad that says, you know, single woman is looking for an unkind, ugly, selfish, humorless person? Of course you wouldn't. You know, so those are wonderful dating qualities. And what I mean by the BAM, the bare minimum, is you want at a minimum somebody who's like that. Otherwise, you wouldn't even want to date them. But what about mateable? If you're looking for a relationship, you want all of that and even more. You know, someone who's maybe conscious, you know, if spiritually conscious is important, you someone who has worked on their issues, somebody who's willing to take responsibility for their they're part of the marriage or partnership. So that's, I'd really encourage you to look at that. And the other thing that I noticed too is that when I don't want to keep zeroing in on women, and because I work with so many women, it keeps coming up, and I think it sometimes happens for men too. But what I said about this thing that when somebody's dating and in the first 3 months people are auditioning for that part, and then a woman is already locked in to, oh, I think he's the one, and I can see myself having his children and so on. And round about month three, maybe some of the people start to let their guard down and you start to see things that weren't there before. And I mean things that would be problematic for having a long-term relationship. Like you find out the person, the more time you spend with them, is they have kind of a quick fuse or a temper, and they go off kind of easily. And that's where people can start trying to explain away behavior. You know, oh, well, he or she's having a really bad day. They're going through a stressful time. Because in your mind's eye, you're remembering that they maybe were not like this in the first couple of months. And so maybe it's just a time that they're going through. And what I'll say is that people can sometimes make excuses for this behavior and keep hoping to get back to the first part of the relationship. And what's naturally unfolding is the person is revealing more and more of who they are. And another pattern I've noticed is that sometimes people get attracted to and attached to people who are not really available. Either you find out they're married or they're emotionally unavailable on a certain way, or they're saying, well, I don't know if I'm ready for a commitment yet. And yet somehow people feel like, well, I'll be the one that'll be able to change their mind. You know, they had that crummy childhood. All they need is a good person like me. And we're not really paying attention to what that person is saying, which is basically, for whatever reason, I'm not a good mate. You know, and people will, we teach people, we train them how to treat us. And I've noticed, particularly in my work as a therapist, how many times I talk to women about, you know, that, well, it seems like you're doing a lot of work here, you know, and you know, he's calling you once every 3 weeks, and they're like, oh, I know, but I know he's going through it. It's like people can get locked in and keep going back to what I would call that dry well for water. So that's an important thing to notice, is that if you're doing a lot more of the work and there's not much coming back for you, it's like, why are you there? Why, you know, that's a good time to let go and shift your attention elsewise. But women tend to get their heart tied up in it and keep making excuses for it. So, you know, I would encourage you about that. Here's another good question that's from Alice from Massachusetts. And she says, I've been divorced for about a year and a half, but had been living with my husband as roommates for at least for the last 5 years of our 10-year marriage. I'm proud of myself that I finally had the courage to get out. Truth is, I think I married him on the rebound, and he was totally the opposite from the kind of, quote, bad boys I dated in my 20s. The funny thing is, when all was said and done, he ended up being just as irresponsible and immature as they were. All that minus the fun aspect of dating the bad boys. I've been wondering about this, though, in my relationships, and I thought I chose someone the opposite, and they appear to be so, both in look and demeanor, and yet they ended up having the same kind of qualities, and it was worse. Now that I'm dating again, I'm finding myself pulling in men who are married, and I don't want to get married again, and I'm wondering what's up with that. And I do want to say that I end that as soon as I find out that they're married. But that's a really rich one, Alice, and there's a lot going on there. First, I will say to you that kudos for you for having the courage to get out of a marriage that was completely unfulfilling for you. And what I will say is that it's the kind of human nature thing that if at one extreme is the bad boys, then okay, well, they're not serving me well, so now I'm going to date who appears to be the good boys at the opposite end of the spectrum. And then lo and behold, we find out under the appearances that they're the same person. And this is where I encourage people to look at the write-up. You know, I joked about those personal ads. If you were to describe your qualities and experiences at the end of that marriage, that would tell you a lot about what's underneath in your unconscious mind about what you're really broadcasting about relationships. So what I'm saying about that is, you mentioned they're irresponsible, whether they're the bad boy in their 20s or the seeming opposite person who may have ended up irresponsible or unkind in other ways. That's where it's important to look at, that's interesting. It's more important for me to look at what's going on in me. You know, I'm affirming I want a different kind of situation here. I pick consciously a person who appears to be opposite. I end up with that same thing. Where in me, for example, with that one, I wouldn't be encouraging you to look at what is it about you having all the responsibility. You know, sometimes if we're totally in charge of everything, as much of a drag as it is, it also gives us the capability to be, you know, in control and comfortable with that in some way. It's just a possibility. I'm sure there's a lot more there, and I'd encourage you to look. The other thing is that I would want to point out to you is, I think it's really important for you to pay attention to what you said about, I don't want to get married again, and I keep pulling in married men, even though I, you know, don't date them. I'm wondering what's up with that. The unconscious mind is very fascinating in that when we say, I don't want to get married again, it'll hear it very literally and send you people that you, quote, couldn't marry. They're either already married or they're unavailable on some level. That's why I'm saying you want to kind of check that out. Above and beyond the obvious of marriage, there's also people that are unavailable in other ways. They may be talking that they want a committed long-term relationship, but they're not capable of it. They may desire it, but they're not capable of it. They haven't worked on their stuff. They get bored. They may be unfaithful. But in other words, you'd be picking people who couldn't really be there for you on some level. So I'd encourage you, Alice, is start looking at, how am I there or not there for myself? Because my sense of you is that you are really there for everyone in everybody in spades. You didn't mention whether you had children or not, but I sense that you do, and I feel like and if you don't, maybe it's that you have that loving, nurturing energy, and you do so much for so many people. And my encouragement would be for you to start shifting that, really looking at treating yourself like those people that you're helping out so much. And thanks so much for that great question. I really appreciate it. And you are listening to the Psychic Therapist Show, live streaming today and the first and third Fridays of every month. And it's broadcast any time of the day or night on Web Talk Radio. And the lines are open for your questions at 888-815-9756. My name is Evie Kane, your host, and you can find out more about me at eviekane.com. I have a phenomenal email question here from Joanne from Minnesota. And Joanne writes, "Dear Evie, I have been doing a lot of work on myself, and I have been affirming, quote, for the one. And it seems that I just keep pulling in losers. And I've been doing everything right to avoid that, and yet here it is once again. And I'm getting really discouraged. I know that the law of attraction works, and I've been following and doing all of those things, and yet I keep ending up with the same results, and I'm feeling, I know that it works, but it hasn't been working for me, and tell me it's not so and that I'm not doomed to keep repeating this. Well, Joanne, you are not doomed to keep repeating this, and you are at the head of a very long, long line. So many people talk about this. And as a matter of fact, it's one of my pet concerns. It's one of the big missing secrets that wasn't taught in The Secret and isn't really taught in depth in any of the law of attraction stuff that's out there. So even though I'm talking to Joanne, I'm really talking to everybody here. So let's just kind of step back for a minute and look at this and to really understand why, quote, bad or undesirable situations keep happening to you, even when you are thinking and affirming positive and desirable situations. What's important is to go to the mind and really dig into how the mind works, our thoughts and feelings and emotions. So, okay, great. And so first of all, I'm sure you're all familiar with the idea that we have a conscious mind and an unconscious mind. And the conscious mind is everything that we're aware of, including the thoughts we think. And the unconscious mind is basically everything else. Now, most people are aware of that, but what a lot of people aren't aware of, or they've heard it and hasn't really registered, is that the vast majority of our thoughts, behaviors, and beliefs are really in our unconscious mind. And that's about 90%. So when you say, I'm thinking good thoughts, those good thoughts are the ones you're aware of and controlling consciously, so you're only influencing about 10% of your mind. What about the 90% we're not aware of? They could be all sorts of good, bad, mad, or conflicting thoughts about a lot of things, and especially about relationships. And because they're unconscious, we won't even be aware of them. It's like if you imagine driving a car that had only 10% of the controls, it would be a pretty hit-or-miss drive, or we'd end up crashed if we ever get anywhere else. Okay? So, no, we're not doomed, and I'm not saying it isn't so, but part of what's up here is realizing our unconscious mind is like a sponge, and it not only does it have these thoughts, it will take every single suggestion or thought we give it. Including, like, when you say, I keep dating losers, it will go and create the experiences for you in your physical world of bringing you losers to date. And these suggestions are not only our own thoughts, they're all over the place in TV and radio and movies. Like that thing a few years back where they said that women over 35 had a greater chance of being hit by lightning than getting married. Okay, so it just keeps absorbing and absorbing and absorbing. And there are ways to shift this, and I'm going to talk about that a little later. The first thing that's important is to find out what they are. It's possible to unearth these beliefs and shift them. And I will talk in a moment because we have somebody waiting on line two that's calling in from the UK, and I will get back to this. Liz, are you there? Liz from the UK.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Liz. How are you today?
Good, good.
And what's your question?
I'm calling, I guess, with a little different question because I'm coming out of a bad marriage, a kind of bad divorce. And I'm not looking for my next great love. I know enough to know that I'm not ready for that yet. But what I am feeling a pull towards is just having someone with somebody, just, you know, just somebody to tell me, look pretty, you know, have some wine, make out, something less fun. Not like, I mean, I could, anybody could easily go to a bar and get drunk and hook up and have something like that. That's not what I'm looking for, but I'm not looking for a great love or even a serious relationship. I'm just looking for something fun and casual, and somebody's expressed interest, and just, you know, you feel torn because you feel so much that you should, you know, be on your own and heal, and yet is a little lightness coming in such a bad thing?
Okay, how long have you been divorced, Liz?
I'm not officially divorced yet, but I would have been 3 months ago for my divorce.
Okay.
It's not because of me. It's getting me.
No, that doesn't matter. Let me just focus zero right in on here, this for you for a moment. So
yeah.
What you're describing is, it just perfectly segues into what I was saying, is you're looking to date someone.
Yeah.
And some of the things that you described in wanting a date is also bringing up some things that you're needing and wanting, like being told you're pretty and having some fun, and, you know, who doesn't want that? So it isn't like I have to live like a monk on a mountaintop and quote, heal myself and be completely healed before I date someone. There's a vulnerability I'm picking up in this, Liz, and sometimes when we, even though you say, I don't want another marriage or long-term relationship, it would be really impossible for you to have any of those feelings right now because you're going through, quote, a bad divorce.
Yeah.
So that's where I'll hear women say, I don't ever want to get married again, blah, blah, blah. And it's like the healing is more about that some of these things that you're desiring and wanting, my sense is, you know, you have been through, the word I hear is horrific, a horrific experience, and that you're very vulnerable right now, so that someone who would be, as I call the BAM, kind and generous and telling you you're pretty, is all well and good, but it's like you've been so hurt and emptied out in those areas that there's you can date, and there's work that you need to do to be able to feel that on your own as well, you know? So as long as you're clear on that I'm dating and really being conscious, and I would encourage you that even though you are, quote, not seeking marriage or relationship or anything like that, that I would encourage you that you would even write those kind of qualities as you make up, what am I looking for in someone who's a date? Because a lot of people can tell you. I bet your ex told you how pretty and everything you were. People can tell us a lot of things, and of course it's true.
Only when he got really, really drunk.
Yeah, but you get my point.
No,
that it's like people can tell us what we want to hear, okay? Yeah, so that's what I'm saying to you, is it doesn't mean you have to be alone and you know, until, quote, you're healed. But I'm saying eyes wide open, mind wide open, and remember that what people say is one thing and what they do is another, and to be really, really mindful of that. And thanks so much for the call. I wish you the best.
Thanks, Evie.
You're welcome. Okay, so what I want to get back to is I was right in the middle of this thing, and I think this would help Liz too, that a lot of times we're unaware of what is happening with us, really. It's because it's these things in the unconscious. If we've gone through a situation where we ended up feeling so totally unlovable, in our unconscious can be things like relationships are very dangerous and scary things, and I don't want a relationship anymore, and we're not even really fully conscious of it. Okay, so one of the things that I want to say is, people then get kind of upset hearing this and think, oh my God, you know, first I'm working on all this conscious stuff, and now you're telling me there's all this unconscious stuff, and this is going to be a lifetime worth of work, and how am I going to know what's in my unconscious? And I just want to say, take a breath. because what I've been working on in the last few months is I have developed a 50-question questionnaire that really helps you flush up to the surface your unconscious beliefs on love and relationships. And if you would like a copy of that, it's a great starting place, then please just email me at evie@psychictherapist.net, E-V-I-E at psychic, P-S-Y-C-H-I-C, therapist.net, evie@psychictherapist.net, and put in the subject line, questionnaire. Okay, and I'll be happy to send that to you. All right, so that was quite a bit to talk about, so let's just take a short musical break and we'll be back. We are back, and you are listening to the Psychic Therapist Show, which is live streaming the first and third Fridays of every month and available any time of the day or night, 24/7, on Web Talk Radio. And the lines are open at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're unable to call in for today's show, just know that any first or third Friday of the month, We're here taking questions about everyday life. My name is Evie Kane, and if you want to know more about me or my work, you can find me at EvieKane.com. That's EvieKane.com. And today we've been talking about dating and relationships and how to be aware of and shift patterns that may not be helpful in either one. And before the break, I was talking about a questionnaire that I had developed with 50 questions that is available to anybody who would like to have that. And you can just email me with questionnaire in the subject line. And I also wanted to let you know that I am going to offer a free teleclass. So if you ask for the questionnaire, I'll be happy to, send you the appropriate stuff about this class. It's going to be the evening of March 21st. How great is that? That's the first day of spring when everybody's fancy turns to love. It'll be March 21st at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now for our friends in the UK and the East Coast, if you feel like, bummer, that'll be a little late, register anyway and get the questionnaire because there will be a recording available. You won't miss out at all. And on this class, I'm going to go over that questionnaire and show you how it breaks down, that these unconscious beliefs usually show up in about, I could take all 50 questions and put them into 4 or 5 different areas. And I'm going to talk on the phone about very practical and specific ways to release some of them. Well, one of them in particular, so you'll have some real value from that. Talk about some free resources that are available to you. This isn't like the old days where you would have to sit in therapy for years and go over your every nuance of childhood, or that we have to review all of our past lives. I'm fond of saying it doesn't matter whether it began in Atlantis, childhood, or after your last marriage. It's possible to release these things that are in our unconscious mind and get them aligned with what we consciously say we want. And when you're able to do that, it's like turbocharging the affirmations and really attracting in what you want. So once again, just put questionnaire in the subject line and send it to Evie at psychictherapist.net. And I wanted to take now, let's just shift gears a little bit. We talked a little bit about some of the things that show up in dating. And let's talk about people that are actually in long-term relationships. And I hear from so many people, they don't describe it this way, but I hear it this way sometimes, that they're in a rut. And I know there's an old saying that says the only difference between a rut and a coffin is 2 sides. And so it is possible to bring more life and love back into your relationship. Just want to start with that. And let me open this up with a wonderful email question from Myra from Northern California. And she writes that, I've been married to a wonderful man for 7 years, known him for 10, and I find myself getting increasingly frustrated with him. Maybe I'm angry, but that sounds like too strong a word. And I just can't seem to get through to him about things that deeply matter to me that I feel. And I'm wanting more emotional intimacy and time together. Not just the time together, but quality time together and fun and spontaneity. And you know, Evie, he's a trained psychotherapist and a rabbi. I would think he'd get this. I mean, he agrees with me, and he says he wants that, but I'm starting to feel like it's lip service. You know, I get pulled in when he says that, and nothing changes. I'm also going through early menopause, and I'm wondering if there's, maybe that has anything to do with my increasing frustration with this. Well, Myra, that's a lot you're going through. I mean, you know, let's start at the end. Early menopause, you know, I don't have to go into all the emotional things that we can go through that can be hormonally impacting us. And, you know, my encouragement would be to you to, you know, be sure you're dealing with that as best as you can. On another level, what I'm picking up, though, is, you know, that's a marker in life. A marker for women particularly as they head into what's known as being the crone or the wise phase. It's like of really wanting your life to matter. I mean, it just is, it's like a real rite of passage. And so, you know, whether you're conscious of it or not, there's a whole other deeper level of, you know, I want my life to matter. I really want to be in my life and living it with gusto and so on and so forth. And I do pick up your husband is an absolutely wonderful man. And I also pick up that he's absolutely clueless as to how deeply you're feeling these things. And that somehow the busyness of his work and all the output with the perhaps the clients and temple members, that this, he has kind of little timer energy at the end of the day, and you guys have kind of fallen into this rut, and you're increasingly frustrated with it. It's something I talk about in long-term relationships that I like to call the leftover syndrome. It's like we're so busy giving each other the leftovers at the end of the day, you know? And if you were just eating a diet of leftovers, you'd be pretty sick of that. And I say, yeah, it's time to go out for a gourmet meal. And I'm not just talking about like how therapists recommend a date night. I'm talking about really sitting and talking with him about how much you miss, you know, talking to him like you did when you were dating. You know, you think about how much time and energy and effort we put into our relationships when we were dating. Then you fast forward and you're married, you know, however many years, and there's a tendency to take people for granted. Him, you, and you, him, and so on and so forth. So I like to encourage people to spend time like when they were dating above and beyond a date night. See, I'm hearing, Myra, that you were the one that was the playful, spontaneous one that kind of lit him up and pulled him away from his work. And I'm also hearing that you're fed up with that role right now. So what I would encourage you to do is just be that way anyway, whether he comes along or not. And maybe it's time for you to spread your wings and start developing some other interests. I don't mean other pick. I just heard I'm not talking about other love interests, but I mean things that really kind of ignite your heart, your soul, and your spirit, whether that's art, dance, traveling. It's like you don't have to be in the rut. You can show up the way that you want to show up and start doing things. And I have a feeling that's going to get his attention and would have him shift things. And for Myra and everyone else, I want to say that sometimes workshops or retreats can help a lot. Most of the time people go to them, it's when they're just trying to learn how to communicate better and they're having issues or problems. But I think in workshops, there's the ability for transformational experiences to happen, for people to fall in love all over again. Because it's, if you think of it, it's like a focused vacation. You're usually away at some beautiful resort. You're with other couples and, you know, inspirational workshop leaders. And the whole thing is focused on that kind of connecting on a deeper level. So I would encourage you about that. And for everyone, you know, whether you're dating or in a relationship, this kind of ongoing education, if we want to call it that, is really important. I don't know about you. But when I was in school, we didn't, you know, we had math and science. We didn't have dating 101 or relationships 101. And most of what we learned was from our parents who didn't have those classes either. They might have had a wonderful marriage, and maybe they didn't. But there's, even if they had a wonderful marriage, a lot of things have changed. Our world has just so speeded up that it's a real challenge to make time for the most important people and situations in our life, our spouse, our partner, our relationship. So scheduling in these kind of things is great. And we have a call from Jay on line one. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How's it going?
Hi, Jay. Welcome to the show. What's your question?
My question is that I just recently lost a job because of economic stuff reasons last month. And I'm just curious, you know, which direction to take, you know, when you work on my passion or and get a job to pay the bills, then work on my passion. So I'm basically, I have a fork in the road, basically, to choose. So I'm not sure where Spirit really wants to take me. I know the, I'm just curious what your insight is.
Here's my insight for you, Jay. And it's funny because, you know, relationships, I always say that when I talk to women, that men and money are related. When I talk to men, your passion and your career are very much related. And a lot of times when we lose that job and it's so scary, it's really kind of the kick in the pants from the cosmic universe to get us on the path we're meant to be. There's a difference between a career or something that we love, that we do, that doesn't feel like work, and a job that pays the bills. So, and you actually said, I don't know whether I should get a job or do my passion. I say yes and yes. If there's a way for you to, you know what your passion is, and for whatever reason, you've been thinking you can't monetize it or blah, 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 I encourage you to go for it because there's a passion in it. Even if you need some coaching or something like that, that's what gives you the aliveness. It raises your vibration and it pulls in what you need to make you truly happy in your heart and soul, and also it becomes a successful business. On the way to that, you may, you know, take a job, but you can take a JOB with the idea of it that this is enabling me to pay my bills so that I can have all this time and energy left over to really work on my passion. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
right. Follow your heart and your soul and your spirit. That's another way of saying follow your passion. You know, I work a lot with people that, you know, they went off and did the brilliant thing to do, either the influence of the parents, they become very successful, and then later on they're like, it just feels so empty. You know, they're making good money, la, 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 you know, and I'm hearing if you put your foot, you said the fork in the road, that's absolutely true. Put your foot on that path and open yourself up to it. You may not know how it will come about, and you don't have to know. There's once you say, I'm going for it, and you start, it opens up the whole universe to you. And I wish you the best, Jay. Thank you for the call.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. And let me go to the next question about, that comes about someone who's married, someone else in a long-term relationship. And this is from Joe in Southern California, who says, my husband and I have been married for 2 years, and he's loving and kind, and I know he's committed to making our marriage work. But there's a huge area that stresses me out, and I'm not quite sure how to negotiate it. Truthfully, he's pretty lazy when it comes to contributing around the house. In other words, he doesn't help with projects, cleaning, repairs, unless I point him out and ask multiple times. It's like he doesn't even notice if they need to be fixed. It boggles my mind. Doesn't think about bills. His mail piles up. His pockets are full of wadded money, receipts, etc. Ironically, he's very successful in business and an incredibly hard worker when it comes to his job, and always makes time for personal things like exercise, but never on his own thinks about contributing around the house or looking for ways to keep things up in the cars, and they're always empty and filthy, and it drives me crazy. I've tried subtle requests, making nice reminder lists. I've tried nagging, and I hate how it makes me feel, like I'm his mother and he's a teenager who's more of a guest here than a partner. And then it seems like I'm smiling because you're nailing it. He's never had to contribute while growing up and was taking care of his mother. But I don't want that role. I want a partner help. How can I communicate in a way that will encourage and inspire him to step up? Well, Joe, my heart goes out to you. And I think this is a question for a lot of people. I think you have hit the nail on the head with the psychology of it, that as I tune into, his mother did everything for the men in the family, and so he's just doing that usual program. And like a mother who would nag about pick up your stuff and clean your room and didn't have any teeth in it, she would do it anyway. And I'm hearing consciously he agrees and wants to do these things, but it's not a high priority because he's never dealt with it. More importantly, as I tune into you, I think you're also getting triggered about your own father. Not that he maybe was a slobber, but maybe he was irresponsible in other ways and not there for your mother. So there's like a double triggering being amped up. And you've noticed, you know, I always say is we can't change people. We can't nag them into it, love them into it, jolly them into it, scream them into it. And it only puts you in those roles that you hate. So let's back up here a little bit. You have fallen into that role, and you've got to pull back and start acting like a mutual partner. And what I mean by that, it's more like this. You say that he's really committed, and I would say this is a very loaded topic. He's committed. You want to talk about it. This is where there's an advantage to going to a marriage counselor, not like there's something wrong, but just that this is an area, because sometimes people can hear it from a third party in a way that they don't hear it from their spouse. If you can't do that, what I would recommend to you is that you tell him that I know we grew up in different worlds, and just as a matter of fact, almost as if, you know, he's very successful in business, you can clue in on that. We talk to colleagues. I sometimes say we ought to talk to our partner like we talk to colleagues and bosses at work, because we wouldn't say things like, you always and you never and da-da-da-da. You get the drift. So from that perspective, as talking collegially, you can say to him something like, this is very important to me, and I know you know it's important to me, and you've made, you know, commitments that you wanted to do this and stuff, and I notice it isn't happening for whatever reason. So I'd like to make some agreements that if you're not able to do these things, then let's get someone to do them. Because where you tell me he's successful in business, I also pick up that he's very motivated and conscious about finances, even though he isn't, quote, paying attention to the money. But you make it simply as a matter of fact without the nagging. That let's get someone to clean the car once a month. If you, no, I don't want to do that. I'll get it done this Saturday, and it doesn't happen. And say, okay, great. That's what you want to do. Great. And if that doesn't happen by X date, then what I would like to do so that we can enjoy our lives and I can be your loving wife and partner and girlfriend and not be angry at you and acting like your mom, then let's make an agreement that if it isn't done by X date, that we hire someone and let him pay for it. See, if money's a motivator for him, then it's like we have time and money. And if he doesn't want to spend the time, even though he says he wants to, but it doesn't happen, then that can be a very fair agreement. I'll repeat again that we do train people how to treat us. So you got to get out of the mom role. Easier said than done, I know. And start talking to him and holding the line like that. And I would encourage you to, you'll have to do a little work because I know it's built up with the anger and resentment. The other thing I'd recommend to you is if you want to Google online, there's lots of great stuff called fair fighting rules. Fair fighting rules is for everyone. You don't have to be having a fight, but there's some great line. Great, I don't even want to call them rules, but great suggestions and ways of talking about difficult things that help people, you know, that to hear things in a different way once we've fallen into that, you know, more insidious role of being the quasi-mom and the nag. And Steph, you know, and, excuse me, what I pick up in the steps in this is that you guys really do have a happy marriage and love one another, and he has a lot of wonderful qualities, and to address this in a very direct and matter-of-fact way, and I think it will go so much better. And I wish you and your husband All the best, Joe. Thanks so much for that great, great question. And, boy, the time has really flown by today. You have been listening to the Psychic Therapist Show. We are here live the first and third Friday of every month, and the show is available a day or night, 24/7, on Web Talk Radio. And I wanted to say, as a reminder, that once again, you've been asking such wonderful questions. These are deep topics. I can only barely touch upon them on the radio. I'd like to encourage you once again, if you want that questionnaire, just email me, and I'll be happy to send that to you in any of the other classes that are coming up, particularly that one on March 21st. The questionnaire helps for people who are married as well, because sometimes when we're in close partnership and we're living with someone, believe it or not, what comes up is all our, you know, and I think Joe's email illustrates that, where people start running unconsciously mother-father dynamics or sibling dynamics. And so you can find out what's in your own unconscious about relationships in general and things that may be running you. So let me bring things to a close by talking a little bit about something I heard somebody say once when I was talking about love and relationships. And the importance is that what we broadcast out, you know, it's really about our self-love, being love. Love isn't something we find, it's something that we are. And that's the vibration that's so important, that no matter whether we're single or married, that what we're broadcasting is love. And I remember a woman said, oh God, self-love, I'm so sick of hearing how it all boils down to self-love. You know, I'm so tired of hearing that. To which I said, wow. Because when you think about it, if you don't want to take the time to find out what's running you, or to take the time to increase your self-love and vibration, to take the time for yourself, if we don't want to find out what's running you, you'll spend your life running, either running away from love or running from one relationship to the next. So stop for a moment and think about that. It's important to love yourself as well as you love others. It's important when we have been hurt or betrayed to heal that, so that what we're not broadcasting is fear, which is kind of a pushing away or a block to relations. It's really about our vibration. It's what the world picks up about us. What we really feel on the inside is reflected on the outside, whether we are aware of it or not. And that is what truly brings us everything in our life. So if we want different results than what we've been getting, it's important to pay attention to how am I doing in the area of really loving myself as much as I love other people? Or how am I doing in the area of being loving everywhere? That's what I am being in my life every day. This is Evie Kane, the psychic therapist, and you can reach me at psychictherapist.net. And feel free to email me your questions for any everyday life challenge you may be experiencing. Thank you so much for joining us today. And please join me for the next live taping of the show on Friday, March 18th, where I am privileged and honored to have Scott and Shannon Pack as guests. They're a remarkable couple. And what I love about them is their whole branding is Love is Possible. And we're going to be talking about soulmates and love and really what you can do to pull that in. So I encourage you to phone in and to have a great week. And and be here for the next show. Thank you for being here today. And until we meet again, remember to let your love and your light brightly shine.
So I can see you shining down.